grandstanding for the hymns, one standing for the hymn.
Four twenty-three,
now living hymn. 4, 2, 3. 4, 2, 3. Say the verse together. I liken them unto a wise man, Matthew 7:23. 4, 2, 3. Subject, more thoughts on the forever shovel.
Well, God's words are still forever settled, even though there are people out there that do not believe the Bible is the words of God. They believe, many of them believe it's the work of man, but they are sadly mistaken. They have the right to believe what they want to believe, but sadly they often believe the wrong thing. We have people today who have that mindset. And so consequently, you have a book of man's words, and you have the book of the Bible being put together by men who do not know God, men who are not believers whatsoever. We want to thank you, Northfield Baptist Church, for allowing us to have the conference today, here and tomorrow. Very nice of you. We want to thank you for the nice breakfast and lunch you provided for us. Very good. Very, very nice to eat here on the grounds, be able to give us opportunity to fellowship with one another. Before I go much further, I'm glad everyone's here at the conference. And so let me tell you something about myself here. My name is Daniel Waite, and I'm from Collinswood, New Jersey. And that's totally where I'm from. And I attend the Bobberton Baptist Church. And I heard about this year's conference from last year. So let's each of you do that real quick. We'll start right up here. So kind of place your name, how you heard about the conference, the type of the church you attend, and what else do you know? How did you hear about the conference?
Pastor Daniel Waite. I heard about the conference from last year. It was going to be here, the date and the time. And Pastor White said about the church.
Now, Barry, we'll get to you in 1 second here. I'm sorry, Barry. This is something I need to get up there with the camera for. I should remember this. You don't mind? Tell us who you are. Well, thank you, Barry. Would you mind getting these people's responses from me? Thank you very much, Barry. Barry's helping me out here with this camera. Bill's helping me out with the camera. Anna's helping me out back there. She's doing the whole thing, really. Anna is. I appreciate that, Anna.
Really.
Mabel, how about you? Tell us about yourself. Stand up and tell us these four things. we're interested. Your name? No, just tell us your name, where you're from, the name of your church, and how you're with the conference.
Amen.
come in April, but next per credit. Plus, those four things, please. One, two. If you don't want to stand up, you don't have to stand up, but it's nice to have you stand up. Get a nice close shot there.
Hey.
What day? Answers. That's good. You did fine. Thank you. Look how fast Tammy does it.
Hi, I'm Tammy Wait. My husband. I'm
a crying daughter from Bledsoe, Connecticut, and the church I attend is Gospel Life Baptist Church in Danbury, Connecticut. Our pastor Chris invited us to this conference possibly 10, I'm not sure how many years ago, and so we have a pastor and all of his sons, and then for this conference we've got a postcard and a phone call.
Good. Postcard and a phone call. Hear that, Phil?
Man.
Postcard and a phone call. Please.
My name is Michael Andre. I'm from Rhineland, New Jersey. Faith Bible Church in Rhineland, New Jersey. And I learned about the conference of Constitution Bible today, 70 stuff. And I became a life member.
Amen.
Yeah. All right.
My name is Robert Wilson from Dunn, North Carolina. I'm Dean of Fine Arts at Foundations Bible College, Bible Collegiate Church. And I learned about this through my pastor.
That's where the conference will be at Gateway Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. So make sure you make your plans now. Maybe you want to start driving now. But it'll take you at least a good day and a half, 2 days to get there. Go. Okay.
Patricia Manahan. I'm from Washington, D.C. I listened to Pastor Wade online on the sermon audio. And I've heard about this from last year's conference as well. Online.
This is Spence, right?
I'm Joel Spence, and I'm from Carolina.
This is Spence from Dunn, North Carolina, Foundation Bible Collegiate Church, and Dr. Wayne Coleman.
I'm Gary Mead from Dunningham, Massachusetts. I'm here with my wife, Sharon, and we're a member of Grace Baptist Church in Franklin. Heard about the conference through Pastor Bunch, Rico.
Mr. Little, Brother Little.
My name is Russell Jr. I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana. I attend Community Baptist Church. I heard about it by going to the website, which told me where it was last year. So then I called over here, and one of the Dr. Waits answered the phone and told me where it was.
Dennis Dooney from the land of Lincoln, that's Lawrence, Illinois. I go to Valley Baptist Church in Oswego, I read about it through a poster.
Kurt Demetro, pastor of the church up in Franklin, Massachusetts. I heard about it back in 1993 by the way you use your computer.
I am here from Northern Baptist Church. You get an artist from Robert Brennan-William.
John Watkin.
Good. I'm pleasure.
Kurt Mitchell.
Yeah.
I'm here in Jersey, not Mexico. I've heard of it, but a small town in Cayman County. Church, and I learned about it that my brother was a pastor and faithful Bible church in the choir.
Thank you for praying. Completely ready, good.
I'm Ian Marie Houchel from Sarnia, Ontario, Canada. I'm married to Randy, and we attend Bible for Today Baptist Church. So we come down to visit in Delaware. And so we decided to come to the conference. Heard about it, of course, to Pastor Wade, to Pastor Dan, and have been praying for this conference for the whole year.
We met at Pastor Wade at Bible for Today Baptist Church.
I'm Randy
Harrison.
I'm from Sarnia, Ontario.
I'm Grant Anderson. I'm Jeremy Rice. Pastor Rice is a father-in-law. I'm here visiting and joining the conference.
Amen.
Jeremy Rice, Northfield Baptist Church. My dad actually introduced me to the Bergon Society and Pastor Wade many years ago in the 90s when he used to get a lot of books and things. He came out of Central in Minneapolis and he saw him shifting sands of Pillsbury and Central. So he got really up to speed through Dr. Wade's books. And so then I as a teenager in the 90s, I read some of his stuff. So I really appreciate that over the years getting to know them.
Yes, I'm Joe Bruckman from Staten Island. I go to St. Matthew's Lutheran Church right now that has a pastor from Africa who just preaches the King James Bible, just preaches the Bible. I still work for a Methodist church, Apple Cemetery, and I contend for the faith. And now when I try to win one over, I just try to stay at the cemetery and do my thing, and that's when they come out and start with me. We go back and forth on different sides. That's it.
Rob.
I'm Rob Winograd from High Widow, Illinois, just north of Chicago. And I had a close association with Bible for Today Baptist Church for about 12 years now. And I heard back it's from the executive the meeting last year, which I, the morning meeting. Which I miss this year, and my apologies for that.
Well, you'll get it next time, next year, though. Next year,
Evangelist Don Boys, from Bingo, Georgia, member of Bridgeview Baptist Church, and we heard about it in last year.
Amen.
I'm Ellen Boyd from North Georgia, Bridgeview Baptist Church.
Thank you.
Christians from Gloucester City, New Jersey. Abba, Brother Spencer.
My name is Christian Spencer. I'm the pastor of Bible Presbyterian Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. And I've known the Waits ever since I've been there for 11 years. And, of course, I heard about it last year.
I'm Ken Riney from Greenville, South Carolina, unemployed, and I heard about it last year.
Yes, sir.
This is Jim from Northfield Baptist.
Jim from Northfield. All right, Bill.
I'm Bill Shepherd. I attend the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey, where I live. Pastor Wade is my pastor.
I'm Phil from East Greenville, Pennsylvania. I go to Community Baptist Church, and I heard about the meeting from being an intern with Pastor Rice.
This is last week. Maybe this is last week to be the intern. He's here. Go ahead,
brother. Yes, I'm Dean Bolt, pastor of the Mainland Baptist Church in Galloway, New Jersey, and I heard about the conference of Galleys from Northfield Baptist.
Thanks for having me, Brother Bolt.
In this one, New York, Philadelphia, at St. Calvary Baptist Church.
John.
Yeah, my name is John Watkins. I'm from New Jersey, the Northfield Baptist Church, my home church. I first learned about Dean Bargon Society when I met Dr. Wade back in like 87, 88, and spent the last 3 years trying to arrange for the annual meeting to be here. I'm so grateful that you're here.
Okay. Next,
I'm Anna Wade. I am from Collingsburg, New Jersey. And I attend the Bible for Today Baptist Church, and I heard about this conference because I watched the last conference because I couldn't make it because I was busy.
Okay, good. All right, thank you for telling me all this. Appreciate that. I want to take a few minutes before what I was going to say here about this God's words being forever settled. The scripture says in Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy words are settled in heaven. You know, they're not created by man. They are God's word. They are the spirit of God, holy men of God. They speak as they were moved by God. They are still forever settled, no matter what the critics say. There are critics today that are saying that they don't even believe in the creation accounts of the Scripture. There are critics today that don't believe that the Bible is God's word. They believe it's a book of man. I was not too long ago, I was talking to somebody at a restaurant, and he said that the Bible is man's words, not God's words. And they can't get themselves past that fact to understand the fact that the Bible is God's words. They can't accept the facts of the Scripture. They believe many things in the Scripture are, just in their view, a fairy tale, the works of man. But it's not. Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 to 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in him. And thou, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be find a liar. Today, many people, they want to add to God's words, they want to take away from God's words, and they are going to be found a liar. It's wrong for them to do that, to deceive people. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 26, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under the inner oak, that it was by the sanctuary of the Lord. They had a high respect for God's words, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Not until the modern day textual critics come along, the Gnostic critics, the critics that get their doctrine, the theology from origin, that they started questioning and tearing apart God's word. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, so they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. It's very important for people today to read the Bible, to read the Scripture. Because the Scripture is what can change our lives. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, also, day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. And they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Romans 7:22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. People today, again, want to change what the scripture says. They can't decide if they want to take the inflation view or the contraction view, but they still want, they want to change. They do not want to be accountable to God's words. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, or is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is exactly why we have so many problems today with the scripture not being accepted by most of humanity on the earth, because of the carnal mind. Because of the carnal mind. And sadly, many people that are a part of the Christian Bible-believing churches are being duped by the secular humanists and atheists who are translating the scripture. Now, as far as the Septuagint is concerned, the president of the Dean Burgess Society says the Septuagint is inadequate and deficient as a translation. And there's other translations that are just as inadequate and deficient as well. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, the scripture says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, this is just one example. But sadly, many modern versions change virgin to young married woman. They're always making changes. Whether they're small changes, whether they're big changes, whether they're knocking out 17 verses from the scripture, they want to make changes because they don't want to accept what the scripture says. They don't want to believe that there is in the God. They don't want to be accountable to God. Jerome included the Apocrypha in his Latin translation. The Apocrypha is not canonical, it's not scripture, but yet you have here Jerome included it. Well, I'm very, very cautious sometimes what these people are saying. The carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. Again, we know that the carnal mind is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. So it's how somebody thinks, how they approach the scripture. How does one look at the scripture? Do they look at it with the carnal mind, or do they look at it with a spiritual mind? When they start tearing apart the scripture, I would say they're looking at scripture with a carnal mind. We must accept the scripture as the words of God. Now we have the naturalistic critics. People that want to say, people that want to claim that there's a naturalistic explanation for everything. You know, for Lord Jesus Christ walking in the water, for the children of Israel going across the Red Sea on dry land. Naturalistic critics believe the text of Exodus has many corruptions. And that they don't stop with Exodus. They go throughout the whole Bible and try to claim that the whole Bible has a bunch of errors, which means that they don't have to pay attention to it. It's just like any other book in the view of the critics. Naturalism focuses on nature and looks for some objective explanation in nature, for who and why and where they are going. They have no faith whatsoever. Naturalism, they want to look for a natural explanation of things. Versus, in the natural man we see here, the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, but from their foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. We have people today, again, the people who attack Scripture, the people that are following the theology of origin, the people that accept and embrace the Gnostic texts, the people that deny the single Mosaic authorship of the book of Genesis. God is the author, Moses is the writer, but nonetheless, they think there's four people who wrote the book of Genesis. Why stop at four? Why not go on to 20? But nonetheless, they cannot accept the things of God. The natural man cannot accept the things of God. Creationism focuses on creation and looks for some objective explanation in creation for why they are and where they are going. There are people today, people who we claim to be ordained Christians, that cannot accept the fact of the seven-day creation. Six solar days of creation. They cannot accept that. They want to look at some long-age theory, long-age view, the old earth type of thinking. They can't accept the fact that God created the earth with age. Brother Shepherd, do you have that book with you or not? Well, next year in Texas, he'll have the book with him. So he has a wonderful book about proving the age of the earth. With the idea of those people who are creationists, they accept the fact of biblical creation. We have to accept the fact of biblical creation as true. Whereas the natural person, see, the modern-day textual critics thinks with natural things. They look at the Bible as some of the book, and not as God's book. In 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. We have to be spiritual people. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, you see, it's God's the one that's doing the talking. God's the one that said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was born and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, darkness he called night, and evening and the morning were the first day. Again, the naturalistic person thinks with their mind, thinks with their nature, does not accept this fact. So with some modern-day Bible translators, meaning translators from the 19th, 20th, and 21st century, they do not accept the fact that this is what happened in the beginning. They said it's not necessary to think it. Eugene Nida and all his friends at his translation schools, they don't think it's necessary to believe the facts of the book of Genesis. And yet, many people are being duped and accepting the fact that we have to let these men, and in some instances women, translate the scripture. We have the fact of Bob Jones University making a change in their view. I mean, when the father and the son were alive, the senior and junior, they were opposed to the RSV. But then we have the ESV, which is basically on the RSV being embraced by the school. Bob Jones condemned the RSV, and now they're embracing the ESV. They're not being clear in their thinking or their reasoning. It's something that's accepted, and they're probably caving to some form of theological peer pressure. The Dead Sea Scrolls. Driver disagrees with the interpretation of Albright, Burroughs, and Cross. Another scholar are based upon the Dead Sea Scrolls. He puts the Dead Sea Scrolls right after. He's got a better date for the Dead Sea Scrolls. A normal, ordinary book. Again, as I said this before, modern-day textual scholars treat God's words just as a normal, ordinary book. The New Testament texts, they maintain, ought to be treated just as the texts of other ancient books are treated. And they go through the same textual criticism as do with other books. It's no different than that some other book. And it's no different whatsoever. The naturalist and modern-day scholar believes the Bible to be a natural book rather than a supernatural book. The Bible is a supernatural book. It's not the work of man, it's the work of God. To where will unbelief lead? Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and of the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4:11-13. These two men believe that the text is entirely pure. Westcott believed the manuscripts B and Aleph are almost entirely pure, although they disagree with themselves 3,000 times in the Gospels alone. Naturalism. The natural method leads to denial of the inspiration of the Bible. The New Testament, you know, Tertullian came up with the concept of the New Testament, Bible preservation, Bible preservation in the 21st century is being watered down by many, and that will lead to a denial of inspiration when you start taking away Bible preservation. It's the papyrus manuscripts, ashamed of God's words. Whosoever therefore will be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory of his Father with his holy angels. Tischendorf so-called discovered the Codex Aleph at St. Catherine's Monastery, received text as 85% of all the representation of all the manuscripts. Aleph would be different. Of course, we have this posture, as I mentioned this before, they differ 3,000 times in the Gospels alone. Three great church fathers, they have a great regard of text receptiveness. Scribner believed that the word worst corruptions to be which the New Testament has ever been subject originated within 100 years after it was composed, in its early years. What text has no representation outside of Egypt? The Alexandrian text. One of the places you can find the representation for the Alexandrian text is in Egypt. Wilkinson states, beginning shortly after the death of the apostles, this is kind of what was said before, four names stand out in prominence, whose teachings contributed both to the vicious heresies and to the first issuing of the manuscripts of the corrupt New Testament. The Diathistron, you see, this was recognized as a corrupt thing, and it was removed, 200 copies. Latin Vulgate, was by Jerome. Ian Burgon gathered 86,000 patristic scripture quotations of these so-called called missing things that aren't in the modern Bibles. What's the difference between Mark 1 and 2 and the ESV versus the KJV? The ESV favors written in Isaiah, the prophets versus in the prophets. It's found in both Malachi and Isaiah. Tertullian includes John 5, 3-4 in his writings. The moving of water. This is also some verses that are missing. Again, we have 17 verses that are missing. God was manifested in the flesh. Is not found, but probably it is found in these writings, but it's missing in many modern Bibles. God was justified in the Spirit, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's missing. God is manifest in the flesh. Is missing. God, the word God is missing. God is missing. Justified in the Spirit. Seen evangelists preach on the Gentiles, believed on the world, received up the glory. The Son of Man who is in heaven. Again, Son of Man who is in heaven. That's missing. Letters of P45, favor brevity. They can't make up their mind if they want it short or long, but here they favor brevity. Hundreds of words missing. Codex Sinaiticus omits John 5:4, John 8:14, Matthew 16:23, Matthew 16:2-3, Romans 16:2-24, Mark 16:9-20, and hundreds of other words and phrases which are commonly removed in the Alexandrian text. And this whole idea of the textual family is horrible. Is that the last time? Okay. 10 revisers. At least 10 revisers between the 4th and 12th centuries. Of course, we're going to have an update on this later on with Dr. Father Mormon. The Epistle of Barnabas, 3,000 real differences. Of course, we've already talked about this three times already. There are 3,000 real differences between the two texts. Stuart Custer, say God preserved his words in the sands of Egypt. He made that statement at Marquette Avenue Baptist Church right in the Chicago area. Some of Alexandria, he says the greatest contribution undoubtedly was the direction given to the studies and activities of Origen to his pupils. So a lot of these people were influenced wrongly by Origen. Constantine the Great, the Latin Catholic Bible, the Valley of produced about the Catholic, the Waldensian and the Old Latin Bible, 900 years. It took 900 years for this, all the endorsements supported by the power of the papacy, the Vulgate, which name we now call Jerome's translation, did not get immediate acceptance everywhere. It took 900 years for Jerome's Vulgate to get acceptance. Klaus and the Peshitta. Bishop Ellicott wrote in 1970, it's not no stretch of the imagination to suppose that portions of the Peshitta might have been in the hands of St. John. New alphabets, maybe they had developed a new alphabet for people to get the scripture in their own language. Henry VIII, they had a parliament pass the law. The Pope is the head of the church, he's the head of the church, and so forth. They call it Great Division, his Great Bible. Chicago newspapers on May 22nd, 1881, the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Times published an entire revised English version of the New Testament. Paper and printing came about at the same time. It used to cost, to buy a handwritten Bible, it used to cost £50 and take 10 months to copy. And we had the Johannes Gutenberg, the printing of ink and paper. And we have the first Bible, the first book to be printed on his press is Divine Vulgate. A primary parallel to the Gnostic Gospels of the Bible is based on Vaticanus. As many modern Bibles are based today, modern Gnostic Bibles are based on Vaticanus and the Gnostic critical texts, UBS, United Bible Society's texts and so forth. Famous Greek student, the Spirit of God presider of Tyndale's calling and training. He early passed through Oxford and Cambridge universities. He went from Oxford to Cambridge to learn Greek from Erasmus. Tyndale's vow, Tyndale was a, he says, this is what Tyndale said, if God spared my life for many years, I will cause a boy that the Lord drives the plow for the more in the scripture than others. It's more like a tractor that's driving the plow, but nonetheless, that's the idea. We have a boy driving the tractor now, but still, the boy, the man driving the tractor can still know more of the scriptures than many scholars today. Three of Henry VIII, he wanted a Bible placed in every church. Only the clergy can interpret, which is, that's what we're getting to today. Only the scholars can interpret now. And they're not quite saying it the same way. But nonetheless, that's the idea of what Trent was saying. Miracle English prose. The Coverdale Bible was another Bible we have. The millennial petition, we had 1,000 clergymen of some sort sign a petition, and eventually we had the King James Bible being translated and produced. And Reynolds was one of the signers of that petition. 33 months it took to translate the King James Bible, the sword of the Spirit, the scripture says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. People don't want to accept the scriptures, the Word of God. Hortus Dominus. Of the Greek New Testament, Dr. Horton was an opponent of the received text. He dominated the English New Testament received revision committee, says, an overwhelming portion of the text in all known cursives, manuscripts except two, is a matter of fact identical. So he's Hort's all off on that. We have Scribner, as mentioned here, Weissman is another man we don't really have too much time to talk about. Ben Hort, he says, he's another one that says this. In text criticism, the New Testament is to be treated like any other book. You can't treat the Bible like any other book. Interpretation versus accidental omission. A.C. Clarke says, he says that right there. We have Darwin. Horowitz. Is that my time? Mm-hmm. 2 moments, okay. Horowitz to Reverend John Ellington on April 3rd, 1860. But the book was the most engaged in was Darwin. They're embracing Darwinism. And people today, they want to accept the people that the same guy that told me that he thought the Bible was the book of man's words also embraced Darwin. Someone that lives today, you know. Down the street, not down the street here in this town, but down the street in some other town. And again, here's Waska. He denies Genesis. And Tischendorf here, Tischendorf could have done something better, I suppose, with his life. Queen Victoria would not appoint a royal committee for the. The new translation, which is good for her. Same with the Wilberforce, the Northern Convention, Extreme Higher Criticism. extreme higher criticism versus lower criticism. Higher criticism is just denying the fact of the creation accounts. Lower criticism is trying to determine which text of the Bible is closest to the originals. There's a book, Tradition Above the Bible. Newman wants to put tradition above the Bible. When we think of all the tradition, we got those seven sacraments, and he would rather put the tradition of the sacraments and anything else above what the Word of God says. And Philip Schaff was another one in the committee, revision committee, and he'd be willing to die among these Buddhists, Confucianists, and Shintoists, of course. And we have scriptural is verbally inspired. I think this is my last slide here. If it's not my last slide, it's going to be my last slide. 100 years ago, Bergen said, if you and I believe that the original writings of Scripture were verbally inspired by God, then of necessity, they must have been providentially preserved through the ages. Since the Garden of Eden, that has been the primary issue, yea, hath God said. Please take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119. Wherewithal shall a young man withstand for the reading of God's word, please? Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Our hymn, next hymn will be
421.
421. I love your work.
The blue one.
Oh, I have to run him up for it. Wonderful words of life. Say the verse together. Lord, to whom shall they go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. John 6:16.